We just heard from Dan Brighty, whose book The Iron Triangle, Inside the Secret World of the Carlyle Group, raises many questions about conflict of interest and the revolving door between government and the defense industry. Chris Ullman is the spokesperson for the Carlyle Group. The Carlyle Group is the world's largest private equity investment company. It manages about $60 billion in assets. The Carlyle Group is heavily invested in the defense and aerospace industries, but they've become more diversified in the past few years. Would you estimate what percentage of Carlyle's holdings have to do with the defense industry?
Interestingly, only around 6%. In our early days, back in the late 80s and early to mid-90s, that figure was higher. But as Carlyle has diversified both in terms of the geographies we serve, because we have offices in Asia and Europe also, as well as the type of investing we do, buyout, venture capital, real estate, for example, that percentage has gone way down to only around 6% for outright defense and around another 7% for aerospace, which is, for the most part, commercial aerospace.
So when the defense holdings were at their highest, what percentage of the holdings was it?
It was probably closer to 40, 50, 60%, depending on the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any concerns about the revolving door between government and the defense industry?
Well, that's an interesting catchphrase, but I think what people need to consider are the specifics of every situation. So take Frank Carlucci, for example. He's a former Secretary of Defense, and he joined the Carlyle Group in 1989. So for the past 14 years, he has been out of public service and in the private sector. And Mr. Carlucci makes a point of not discussing Carlyle activities with former colleagues of his at the Department of Defense. And he goes out of his way, even though it would be acceptable and to do that, because the law says You have to refrain from engaging in any kind of lobbying or solicitation for a year after you leave office. So he's been out of office for 14 years. And he actually holds himself to a higher standard by not lobbying or soliciting any kind of business from former colleagues at the Department of Defense. And I think if you look at someone like Mr. Carlucci or some of the other former senior government officials here at Carlyle, such as James Baker or Arthur Levitt or even former President Bush, they spent, in some cases, decades serving their country. And they have impeccable reputations. And one of the reasons they even joined us in the first place is because we have such a good reputation. And just as we were honored to be associated with them, they were pleased to be associated with us.
There are kind of two sides to the question of the revolving door between government and the defense industry. On one side, the people who had been in government and are in the defense industry have the potential of getting better access to people in government for better deals for their companies. On the other hand, the people who are in government could conceivably be making decisions that would be favorable to industry in the hopes that when they get out of government, they will be rewarded with a lucrative consulting contract or a lucrative position in the defense industry. So those are just two of the concerns about the revolving door. Because there are so many people who have been involved with government, such as former President Bush, former Secretary of State James Baker, Frank Carlucci, who also used to be a deputy director of the CIA, Carlyle Group has been a real focus of that concern of the revolving door. So, I mean, talk a little bit more about whether you see those concerns as being relevant to the Carlyle Group.
Mm-hmm. Well, a little background here, Terry. Carlyle has 500 employees around the globe, 300 of whom focus on actually doing the investments. So if you look at the number of former senior government officials, it's less than 10. So in perspective, there really aren't that many. unless they are notable people. So, but I always like to be able to put that in perspective for people, because the people who actually do all the work here have MBAs from Harvard and Stanford and Wharton and are experts in investing. Now, in terms of some of the specifics you brought up about the so-called revolving door, once again, I think it's very important to look at the facts of each situation. So take the United Defense. United Defense is a defense contractor that's based in Arlington, Virginia, that Carlyle used to own all of it. The company went public. Now we own a little less than half of it. That company used to have a contract with the government to produce a very large gun called a Crusader. In fact, there was an $11 billion contract with the Department of the Army to produce this gun over the next several years. And interestingly, that gun was funded for 8 consecutive Clinton budgets. And soon after coming into office, President Bush canceled the contract.
But was United Defense given a new contract after the Crusader was canceled?
An $11 billion contract was canceled, and a much, much, much smaller contract was granted. The goal was to capture some of the technology and intellectual property that had been created over the previous 9 years that taxpayers had paid for, so that that could be captured and used for next generation artillery. And we're pleased to get that contract, and we feel that the defense needs of the country will be well served. And if anything, it's a good way to ensure that taxpayer money wasn't wasted after all the development was put into that project.
The Carlyle Group represents the first time that a former president, George H.W. Bush, has gone to work for the defense industry. Plus, his son is the current president, and President George W. Bush used to be on the board of one of the companies owned by the Carlyle Group. Mm-hmm. There is the possibility that the Bush family will profit from the war in Iraq. Whether they will profit or not, I have no idea. But the point is that that relationship exists, and it's bound to raise certain questions. So how does the Carlyle Group deal with those questions that are obviously going to be raised?
Well, a couple of things. First, President Bush, former President Bush, is an advisor to Carlyle. His exclusive role is to give speeches at Carlyle events. Contrary to what some think, he does not work for the defense industry. Carlyle is an investment firm. 6% of our investments are in the defense sector. We are an investment firm. We are not the defense industry. So that's an important distinction. And one of the beautiful things about America is that after public service, people return to the private sector, and they are just everyday citizens. They are subject to the same laws as everyone else, and it's completely within the prerogative of a former government official to engage in business activities that are of interest to that person. And former President Bush chooses to be affiliated with us, something we're very proud of. He has decades of public service commitment to his country. We are proud to have him affiliated with us. And I don't know what else to say.
As you say, it's perfectly legal. And one of the points that Dan Brighty makes in his book about the Carlyle Group,
it's not what's illegal.
Exactly, he says that the scandal here isn't that something's illegal. The scandal is what is legal
but
how legal that revolving door is.
I definitely have to say this on the record.
Go ahead.
Well, it's all on the record, but
go ahead.
I'm going to say this. For the past decade, Carlyle has been poked and prodded, and people have peered beneath the hood. And for 10 years, people have made these types of accusations. And for 10 years, they have come up with nothing other than hot air about the hint of the hint of the hint of impropriety. And you know what? It's about time that people either put up or shut up regarding this issue. Because people like George Bush, Frank Carlucci, James Baker have served their countries well. They are wonderful public servants for decades. I mean, if you put it all together cumulatively, it would be probably close to 40, 50, 60 years they've served this country. And they have stellar reputations. And, you know, sadly, none of them seems to be given, in today's climate, any benefit of the doubt. That in Bridey's book, he implies that the current and the former president would sell out their country to benefit Carlyle. That is offensive, unsubstantiated, and the mark of an irresponsible journalist.
The question that we've been raising on the show today is about the revolving door, and it's a question that isn't just about the Carlyle Group. It's a question in general about the potential or the reality of conflict of interest. And it's a question that a lot of professions face, even journalists face the question of conflict of interest on a lot of stories, too, and anguish about it all the time. I want to ask you about another thing that has been the subject of a lot of speculation in the Carlyle Group, and this is something very specific to the Carlyle Group, mm-hmm. and that's the question of, after September 11th, a lot of people learned that the Bin Laden family was very heavily invested in the Carlyle Group. So, you know, here's a company in which former President Bush, father of the current president, is involved with the Carlyle Group, and then Osama bin Laden's family, and the family had says that they had already disassociated with him by then, but Osama bin Laden's family is associated with the same group. And, you know, what it means, I don't know, but you look at it and you go like, wow, that's really unusual, isn't it? You came on to handle public relations for Carlyle shortly after September 11th. What are some of the things you heard, speculation-wise, about what that might mean? You know, the Bin Laden family and George Bush Sr. being involved with the same company, and how did you go about trying to respond to it?
It was challenging, at a minimum, because, unfortunately, as Vince Foster said in his diary, destroying people is sport in this city. So, too often, people shoot before they ask questions. They assume the worst before they find out the facts. So my goal on behalf of Carlyle has been to get people to slow down, take a deep breath, and find out the facts. The journalist calls me up and says, what's the situation with Bush and Bin Laden and Carlyle? In the past, we probably would have put our head in the sand. Now, we tell people what the situation is.
Which is
that prior to September 11th, the Bin Laden family, through an investment arm called Saudi Bin Laden Group, which is, and this is another fact that's important, completely reputable and respected family in Saudi Arabia, which actually did work for the U.S. government on a number of occasions in the Middle East, from a construction standpoint. That family, through that organization, was invested in a fund, Carlyle's 23 funds, that had defense investments. So we decided, we mutually agreed after September 11th to buy them out of that fund. And so we just started telling people that.
Getting back to the issue of conflict of interest, In some situations, people go out of their way to avoid the appearance of conflict of interest, so that the question is never raised. And in that respect, a lot of people have wondered why George Bush Sr. hasn't resigned from his position on the Carlyle Group, not because there necessarily has been a conflict, but to avoid the possible appearance of a conflict?
You're going to have to ask President Bush about that. I mean, I cannot speak on his behalf.
Is that issue discussed within Carlisle?
I will not speak on his behalf. I will try to address the issue in principle.
Right. I'm wondering if it's an issue that's even, if it comes up.
I mean, the larger principle is this, and I will try to then get down to the smaller principle.
Sure.
The larger principle is this, is that there once was a time when impropriety was the measure of impropriety. Now it's the hint of the hint of the hint of impropriety by someone like Dan Bryety, who has an agenda, or someone like, you know, some of these self-appointed do-gooder organizations, like the Center on Public Integrity, where the facts they know are facts they read in the newspaper. They don't call here asking for facts because they're not interested in the truth. They have an agenda. And it is wrong to impugn the integrity of a committed former public servant just because of the hint of the hint of the hint of impropriety.
But again, I'm not trying to impugn President Bush, but just to rather raise the question about avoiding the appearance of a possible conflict of interest in the same way that a judge would recuse himself or herself from hearing a case that had to do with one of his or her special interests or attachments, in the same way that a journalist wouldn't cover a story that they had a personal investment in. Again, to avoid the possible appearance of conflict of interest.
To imply that there's even the hint of a possible conflict here, I'm at a loss to see it, to be totally honest, because can you explain it to me? See, this is what people don't do. They say, all right, I'm asking this with a total straight face. What is the hint of impropriety? That George Bush is giving advice to his son on a macro geopolitical issue that could somehow benefit him. That's it?
Well, you know, if you look at the possibilities, and I'm not saying this has happened, but again, the appearance of a possible conflict, there's the possibility that the president would even have in the back of his mind, if I do this in North Korea or if I do this in Saudi Arabia, it might have a bad effect on the company my father works with. Again, I'm not saying that that's happening, but again, getting to the idea that sometimes people recuse themselves to prevent the appearance of a possible conflict of interest.
What this line of thinking includes is if. And what it leaves out is the integrity of the people we're dealing with. And one of the great things about the American political system is that we have laws, and we have regulations, and we have the letter of the law, and we have the spirit of the law. But in the end, you have to rely on the integrity of the people you're dealing with. And to my knowledge, no one has ever questioned the integrity of former President Bush. And I think it's a little late to start questioning it now after 30 plus years of public service.
Chris Olin, thank you very much for talking with us.
Terry, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Chris Olin is spokesperson for the Carlisle Group. Earlier, we heard from Dan Bryety, author of The Iron Triangle, Inside the Secret World of the Carlisle Group. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.